We've been studying from the book of James, and the letter of James was written within about 25 years of the death of Jesus is when that letter was written, and it was written to believers scattered around the Roman Empire, and so we've looked at trials, we've looked at the promise that God gives wisdom if we lack it, we've looked at humility and pride, temptation. Last week we looked at the goodness of God, and in today's passage there is a lot of stuff. And so we're going to actually read, it's from verse 19 to verse 27 of chapter 1. It'll all be up on the screen. I'm going to read through it, and you can follow along. I'm going to make some comments, and then we're going to hone in on one idea and to bring the thing home. So what we're going to do. So here's how it goes. This is James chapter 1, beginning with verse 19. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts. Let me stop there just for one second. That's what my hope is for today, that you would humbly, here's what it says, that you would humbly accept the word that God wants to plant in your heart today. And he's got something he wants to do, something he wants to say, and that you would humbly just let God speak that into your heart. And then it goes on. And for it has the power to save your souls. And go on to the next one. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are all fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious but can't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion is in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. There's the passage. Parts of it will be up again. But he starts out by saying, understand this. I don't know about you, but I, as time has gone on, I tend to be and grow even more into being what I would call a skimmer. So, like, you get an email and you skim through it, not without reading all of Brenda, stop smiling, okay? Brenda and I have gone back and forth because I will skim something she sends me and then we'll have a conversation like, we didn't read it all. Or I will send something to her and like, anyway. So skimming, do you know what I'm talking about? You know, you some news thing comes up and you just catch parts of it because there's so much information, you can't read it all in depth. So you just find yourself being a skimmer. The problem with being a skimmer and when someone's skimming is we miss out on so much, and sometimes what we're really supposed to get from the thing we don't get because we just skimmed it. Everybody know what I'm talking about? So what James is saying is don't be a skimmer. Don't be a skimmer where you just skim through this. You know, just read over it and move on. Grab a hold of this. Let this work its way into your heart. Let this become something that becomes part of you. Don't just, you know, let it grab a hold of it and move on, but consider what he's talking about. And then we're going to go down to the last verse of the passage. And so if you'll put that last verse back up. He says this, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress, refusing to let the world corrupt you. And you know, there are lots of people in our world who will use this line. They'll say, I'm not religious, but they'll say what? I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. They'll say, I'm not religious, but I'm a seeker. I'm not religious, or they'll say, you know, I believe, but I don't do church. And then there's lots of other people who say, no, I'm spiritual, and I'm religious, and I go to do church, and I got all the things that go along with it. It doesn't matter what someone claims, whether they're, well, I'm you know, not religious, but I'm spiritual. Or they claim that, no, I have religious practices I do in my life, and I'm a follower of Jesus. It doesn't matter who they are. James lays out three very solid characteristics of what a person who follows Jesus, a believer, has in their life. Number one, They control their tongue, and we're going to come back to that one. That's the thing we're going to hone in on today. Number two, they care about needy people. In James's day, he said they care for widows and orphans. Now, there are all kinds of other people besides widows and orphans that were classified as needy, that could be classified as needy. But these two, widows and orphans, oftentimes have no capability of protecting themselves and no capability of supporting themselves. You know, their options were to sell themselves, to beg, to hope someone would have charity upon them. They just had no means. You know, like we have all the welfare projects and all kinds of things that, you know, can help a widow and orphan in our day. But in that day, they were just left to their own. So he says, here's three characteristics. Here's three solid things that followers of Jesus have to have in their life. One is they manage their tongue. Two, they care about needy people. And if you don't care about needy people, then Jesus' work has not got deep enough into your life. Thank you, Reba. Everybody with me? That's what it says, isn't it? And then the last one, that they strive, and I wrote it this way, they strive to live a life of purity. He says, refusing to let the world corrupt you. Refusing to let the world corrupt you, the poison of the world, the filth of the world to corrupt you. And that could be talked about sexual purity, that's for sure, greed, materialism. You know, the world's mentality is, get your own while you can. Or the world's attitude of, we just get even. You know, I'm going to get even. Show no mercy, take no prisoners, all of those kinds of things. He says, characteristic is that people don't let that stain them. They don't let that become part of their lives if they're really followers of Jesus. Now, I want to turn our attention to what I really want to talk about. Here's what he said at the very beginning. He says, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Let's say those together. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. One more time. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. You know, what he does is he gives us these three directives, and the three exhortations, I want you to think about them this way. They're all tied together. They're all tied together. They're like three strands of a rope. You know, if you just got one piece of thread or you just got one piece of twine or whatever it happens to be, one piece of that makes up a rope, if it's, you know, you untwist it, it only has a certain amount of strength. But you put all of them together and it increases the strength of the rope. Here's how Solomon said that. He said, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. So just imagine these three together, quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Imagine them all twisted together, that they would make up a rope. And, you know, you take each one of them alone. Like, it's a really good thing to be quick to listen. You just take it by itself, and on the other side, don't take the other two. Your rope is not what your rope is meant to be. Your character is not what your character is meant to be. Your life is not what your life is meant to be. It's only a start. And you can put all the combinations. I tried to actually figure out how many combinations there could be of these three. I couldn't figure it out. But if you just think about quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry, and then now I'm slow to listen, quick to speak, you know, just put them all together. The only one that really does in your life what Jesus wants you to do and me to do is when you put them, the three of them together, you twist them together exactly as he laid them out. And if you have quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry, if you have them all twisted together the way they're supposed to be together or braided together or together, you have an indestructible character trait. You have an indestructible character trait. If you have those three all twisted together. So he says this. He says, quick to listen. Quick to listen. Now, again, most people in the world are, why does he say be quick to listen? Because we're slow to listen. We half listen. You know, we're selective listeners. We only take in what we want to listen to. How many times have you had someone say, and some of you have heard me tell a story, how many times have you had someone say, you're not listening? Or you didn't hear me. And sometimes I just say to my wife, I didn't hear what you said. I didn't. I wasn't listening. You know, we're not listening. One time, my middle son, who's in his 30s now, but he was about 5 years old, and I'm reading the newspaper, sitting in a chair reading the newspaper, and he's talking to me, and I'm going, Some of you have heard me tell this story. And I'm reading the newspaper. And finally, he climbed up underneath, he's a little redhead, he climbed up under the newspaper and grabbed. So what we've looked at, in the scripture so far in James, if we lack wisdom, let us ask. You can't be someone who gets wisdom if you're not listening. You can ask and ask and ask for all the wisdom you want to get. But if you're not listening for wisdom, you're going to miss out on getting wisdom. Receiving wisdom requires listening. Doug Larson says this, wisdom is the reward you get for a lifetime of listening when you would have preferred to talk. That's where wisdom comes from. It's just listening. So he says you need to be quick to listen. And then he says slow to speak. It's a lot easier to talk than listen, isn't it? Because talk is me-centered. Listening is the other person-centered. When I'm listening the way the Lord wants me to listen, it's not about me. It's about what that other person is trying to communicate to me. When I'm talking, it's about me. I'm the center of it. And Solomon said this. Solomon said, too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. Just too much talk. Those who control their tongue, here he said this, those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. Anybody ever open their mouth and ruin some things? Yeah, it happens. And he says, so you're quick to listen, slow to speak, and then he uses this one. He says, slow to get angry. When he says be slow to speak, he's not talking about not talking. He doesn't say that, not talking. What he's talking about is think before you talk. That's what he's talking about. Think, and maybe not just think once, think twice before you talk. Because afterwards we've said something, and then we think about it and go, what was I thinking? What in the world was I thinking? So he's not telling us not to talk. And then he says, slow to get angry. Maybe because of the 24-hour news cycle, maybe because of political and business leaders, and maybe because of social media, I don't know. But it sure seems like people are a lot angrier now than they used to be. And not only are they a lot more people angry, they're a lot angrier. Even when I was typing out, my notes this week, right when this has happened, I got a ding, and it was from a family member, and it was a Facebook message thing, and this is what came. This person, in capital letters, when caps are, it's like you're screaming. Okay, that's what it's like, you're yelling this. This is what the person typed. This makes me so mad. I hate greedy people. Because again, it doesn't matter where it comes from. It is so easy to get quickly angry. You see something about how someone treats an animal, and it's just like quickly to get angry. You see how someone mistreats a child, you get angry. You see how, the economic situation, you get tired. You see how much money somebody's making. There's all kinds of things to get angry about. And yet what James says is he says, man, slow down. Slow down. Do not get angry so fast. Again, quoting Solomon, he says, short-tempered people do foolish things. Short-tempered people do foolish things. Short-tempered people do foolish things. Should I say it again? Short-tempered people do foolish things. And how often have all of us, at one moment, all of a sudden, something gets us all stirred up? And I remember years ago when I was principal in the Christian school, we had an incident that happened in a classroom, and this classroom happened to be out where the office wings are, although we have one classroom in there this year. It happened to be out there, and all of a sudden, you could hear this car coming in and was actually throwing rocks, from the driveway, the parking lot as they came in, wheeled in, got out, slammed around. I'm like, what's going on here? And this person went into the classroom and yelled at a teacher, and just because she was upset about something, only to go home that night and, someone, contacted and said, that's unacceptable for you to come in like that, and that's unacceptable for you to go into a classroom. And when it's all said and done, this mom heard the rest of the story from her son, and her son had only told her a portion of the story that got her all worked up and angry, and she flew in here, flew into the classroom, with, you know, and ripped into the teacher, but only knew a portion of the story. And when the person got the rest of the story, was completely embarrassed. Is everybody, because haven't we all done that? You know, we just get something, we get all worked up about and lathering and foaming at the mouth about something when we really don't know what's going on. You know, I listen to my wife. I'm not much of a gardener. I'm not a gardener at all. As a matter of fact, I hate weeding. It's just not my thing. But I listen to my wife, and I listen to my mother-in-law, and listen to my daughter, you know, that's around, listen to my daughter, and they all talk about, you know, conditions of soil, and, you know, that something needs aesthetic, and, you know, you were over at our house the other day, Diana, and we planted a rose, and talking about this. I don't know anything about any of that. That's what you know. That's what you know. That's his wheat's thing, is all this planting thing. But here's what the little bit I do know, and I hear them talk about and sat down and talked to Wheat for a long time about, you know, his farming. Plants need certain environment to grow and to flourish. And human anger, here's where the tie-in, human anger is not the environment where righteousness flourishes. It's like the soil's bad. There, you know, it needs balance. There's something that needs to go on there. And you just parse it out. I mean, if you parse out difficult relationships, you'll find a combination. In those difficult relationships, somebody is being very slow to listen. They're being very quick to talk, and they're being very quick to get angry. Somebody in that. Any combination between, whether it's two people involved, three people involved, whatever it happens to be, people are not listening, people are talking too much, and they're getting angry too fast. Everybody get it? I mean, that's what's going on. And relationships cannot flourish when there is little or no listening, when there's too much talking, and when people get too angry too fast. Relationships don't flourish in that environment. Here's what James said. He said, get rid of all filth and evil in your lives. And the context he's talking about there is anger. That's the context he's talking about. Get rid of all filth. We want to apply it to sexual things, or we want to apply it to this or that or whatever. The context of it is, he just got done saying, is the anger issue. See, anger like that he's talking about is sin, and it simmers, and it's filth, and it's evil. Anger that blasts is filth, and it's evil. That's what he's talking about. You know, when we just spew it out, he says that's evil. That's what he says about it. People say, I'm not angry. I'm just a frank person. Well, you need to change your name. Don't make it Frank, okay? But just this whole idea, or I'm telling it like it is. The truth is, oftentimes when someone says, and you've had someone say, I'm telling you like it is, oftentimes they're not telling you like it is, they're telling you how they see it. That's what they're telling you. This is how I see it. And I want you to see it the way I'm seeing it. Here's what Solomon said. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself in control. Kent Hughes says, an angry spirit is never a listening spirit. An angry spirit is never a listening spirit. An angry spirit is never a listening spirit, or a teachable spirit. If you turn that around, if an angry spirit is never listening, a humble spirit is what? Always listening. A humble spirit would be always listening. Listen to this. You want to be married to a person who is quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. That's the kind of person you want to be married to. That's the kind of boss you want to have. You want to have someone you work for who is slow, is quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. That's the kind of boss you want to have. Those of you that are kids in the room, that's the kind of parent you want. You want a parent who is quick to listen and is slow to speak and is slow to get angry. Is that not true on all those cases? That's what you want. That's the kind of parent you want, is you want a parent who, you know, again, there's adults in this room who have gone, or maybe you are currently, and I'm not dissing on anybody, but who goes to therapy, and you go to therapy because you had a parent who was very slow to listen, who talked all the time, and was angry, and it messed you up. And because of that, you've had to seek therapy to try to, like, how do I do this? And, you know, how do I make this work? That is not the kind of parent someone wants. And so what should that be for all of us that are parents and grandparents? That's not the kind of parent or grandparent we should be. We should be a parent. We should be a grandparent who strives to let God do his work in our life so that we are quick to listen, slow to speak, and what? Slow to get angry. Slow to get angry. He goes on, James goes on, and he says, don't listen, just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourself. What he's saying is, like, I'm not writing this for fun. He's saying, don't just read about being quick to listen. Become a quick listener. Don't just read about being a quick listener and slow to speak. Become someone who listens and doesn't talk all the time. And the last one, he said, don't just read about, or now you went out of there today. Well, I didn't know that scripture was even in James. But you would be someone who doesn't just read about being listening and quick, slow to anger. But you start listening, and you stop talking, and you don't get angry. You know, a believer is someone who believes. Like, well, that's profound, right? That's like really profound. But a disciple is what? A disciple is a doer. See, you can say, well, I'm a believer. Well, yeah, there's lots of people who are believers. Jesus isn't looking for believers. He's looking for what? Disciples. He's not looking for people who believe that. He's looking for people who do that. And it doesn't matter whether it's spoken words or whether it's social media words. They're all the same. They're all the same. See, a believer believes this stuff, but a disciple starts listening, stops talking, and gets rid of anger. Because he says it's filth. Now, some of you right now are playing the butt game. Okay? You know what the butt game is? Like, I'm just saying all this stuff, and you're going, but Matt, there's times you need to get angry. But Matt, Jesus got angry. Matt, God gets angry. But Matt, the problem with playing the butt game is, too often playing the butt game is it's really just a disguise. It's a cover-up for the reality that I have something in my life I need to work on. When we talk about ethics, over the years, you know, people would, you know, you talk about lying and always telling the truth, and people would say, well, the people that hid Jews in World War II never told the truth all the time. They lied. And I've said to people, I'll look at them and go, when was the last time you hid a Jew in your house that you had to lie about? Do you know what I'm saying? Because what we do is we cover up, don't we? I mean, we pull out this big ethical question about it's okay to lie, because sometimes you have to lie because you got to do it to protect someone, as if somehow that covers me for the things that I lie about. It's the same thing here. You can put out all the butt arguments you want about anger, but the reality still is that we have got to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. That's the bottom line. Here's what he says. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself. You're fooling yourself. You claim to be religious. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself. Let me wrap this up to bring it to application by reading from Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, The Message. Just listen in here. He says, post this at all intersections, dear friends. Lead with your ears, follow up with your tongue, and let anger straggle along in the rear. God's righteousness does not grow from human anger, so throw all the spoiled virtue and cancerous evil in the garbage. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but. Anyone who sets himself up as religious by talking a good game is self-deceived. This kind of religion is hot air and only hot air. See, a disciple lets Jesus work in their lives to where they become quick to listen, slow to speak, and what? Slow to get angry. Anybody need to learn how to be quicker to listen? Raise your hands up. You need that grace. How about anybody need to learn to be slower to speak? Anybody need to be slower to get angry? Double hands on that. Yeah, Matthew, double hands. Todd, double hands. Somebody back there's putting their parent's hand up. Let's stand together. Lord, we would confess to you that at times we have been a believer and not a disciple. We've been someone who says, yeah, I believe that stuff, but we've been so slow to do it. And we need you to invade us with your grace. As Paul said in the letter to Titus, he said that God's grace comes to teach us to say no to unrighteousness. His grace comes to teach us to say no to being slow listeners. His grace comes to teach us to say no to be in someone who's quick to speak. His grace comes to teach us to be slow to get angry. We need that grace. We need that grace poured into our lives, that we would not just be people who believe this stuff and walk out of here, but we would be people who do what your word says. We wouldn't, as twice in that passage it says, you're fooling yourself. Because that's the truth, that at times we believe and we're fooling ourselves when we should be doing and really understanding what's going on. Lord, we need your grace. We need your grace. We need your grace. We need you to forgive us. And 1 John says, if anyone confesses a sin, that you're faithful and just to forgive us. And then the promise is that you'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You'll cleanse us from being so slow to listen. You'll cleanse us from being so quick to speak. And you'd cleanse us from being so quick to get angry. Lord, we need your forgiveness and we need your transforming work in our lives. And then we need your grace, Jesus. With our spouses, with our kids, with our parents, with our coworkers, with our students we go to school with teachers, with staff members, with teammates that we play games and do team activities with. We need your grace. We need your grace. We need your grace. And Lord, probably all of us would say there's one of these that needs more grace than the other. And you know what it is in each one of our lives. Lord, so pour a double measure of your grace into that in each of our lives, that place where we specifically need significant work. Lord, you'd pour your grace, a double portion of your grace into that area. Lord, we want to be doers. We want to be people who are quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. That would be true of those in this room. That would be true of everyone that's with us right now online. It's also true of people who will join us sometime during the week. Teach us, Jesus. Teach us, we pray. And if you need that grace, say amen. Amen. God bless you. Go have a great day. There's folks up here that love to pray with you. Don't leave here. If you need prayer, don't leave here without getting prayed for. God bless you. Have a great afternoon. Enjoy your Memorial Day tomorrow.